Thank you, Carlos. Thank you, choir. And I was just noticing that not only did we not only directing our souls with the first song that we sang, even in I Love You, Lord, Oh My Soul Rejoice. So, and I was thinking when he mentioned that about the, you know, there's a psalm where, Psalm of David, it says, why are you downcast, O my soul? So, you know, it's okay to talk to yourself, you know, as long as you're telling yourself the truth, right? You know, preach the gospel to yourself. Now, you know, sometimes you see people just kind of walking on the street talking to themselves. You want, okay, I'm not sure that's exactly what we're talking about, but it is good for us to talk to our souls. And I hope I don't know what your soul is saying to you today, but I hope it is rejoicing in thanksgiving. And as I mentioned last week, I don't know if it's just, you know, kind of like those clouds that I told you a few weeks ago that I just seem like I'm noticing for the first time, these massive clouds. I really am noticing, for the first time, this big push to get Christmas here just as fast as you possibly can. And the more I see it, and don't get me wrong, I mean, Angie's already got some Christmas music on in the car. You know, I'm going, okay, I'm kind of ready for some of that. I'm not sure I'm ready for all that just yet. But I really believe with all my heart, it is a diabolical goal to skip Thanksgiving. I think we're going from Halloween, a secular, to, you know, evil to a degree, an evil holiday, to, you know, focusing on certain things and moving straight to, you know, Santa Claus and Christmas and this sort of thing. And I think there's a plan to just, you know, blow by Thanksgiving, because you have to thank God. I mean, there is no other reason for Thanksgiving unless you just raise your hands and pray, say, God, I thank you for my life. I thank you for my family. I thank you for the many things we're going to talk about, you know, as we go to the thanks meal this afternoon. And I come around with the microphones and just know it's coming. Don't act like you don't know. I'm going to come around. I'm going to say, just give me something you're thankful for, just one thing, you know, something from your thanks jar, or just something that something you're thankful for. You know, and it shouldn't be that difficult. But again, I think we need to redeem it. You know, just we need to redeem that time. We need to give emphasis to Thanksgiving, and we need to do so because we owe everything to God. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him, and other people need to see our Thanksgiving. What's the scripture say? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, right? Let the redeemed of the Lord give thanks to God for our salvation. So that's what we're going to do. And thank you again for participating in Get to Know You November. I'm learning so many things. Robert over here has the name of the German, the Red Baron, his actual name. And then he proceeded to give me like a 15-minute seminary lecture on the history of this person. And now I'm so tired. My brain is so full of information I didn't know. And then Ann Melican back there, I said, who is this person? She said, this is the inventor of dance, I believe it was, or something, you know, something to that degree. I'm like, you know, I'm going, wow. I'm not nearly as smart as I thought. So you guys are teaching me so many things, and I'm excited to learn those things. So it's really good. Mine is Michael Bublé. All right, if I could be anybody for a day, I would annoy you so horribly. I would answer the phone singing. I would go to the McDonald's drive-thru, and I would order everything by singing it. I would just sing all day long. And Angie thinks she would like that, but I'm sure even too much of a good thing after a while would get old. But I would love to be very annoying and be able to sing like that. I keep thinking in heaven I'm either going to be able to sing like Michael Bublé or David Phelps. Either one of those two guys, I could just sing all the time. But anyway, but this morning we finish up our time in Colossians. And I hope you've enjoyed our time focusing on Jesus Christ as the, you know, the star, if you will, of the book of Colossians, the beautiful book of Colossians. And hopefully you've worked on memorizing Colossians 1, 15 through 20, or even through 23. And it's okay, all right? It's okay if you've found your memorization less than perfect. And I had it. I'm just going to tell you, I had it nailed down, I really did, and I thought it was sticking in my brain until last Sunday, and Carlos has to challenge us all mid-service just to do it, you know, from memory, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I got this. I butchered that thing last week. There were so many gaps, I was like, what in the world? So I had to go back and, you know, and work on it again. So anyway, but even imperfect memorization is good. It is good for us because what you're doing, what I'm doing, what we're doing is we're taking in truth. We are taking in truth as we seek to memorize it, and we're equipping ourselves with truth, both the truth that we need on a daily basis and truth to share when other people need it. You know, even a less than perfect memorization is a good spiritual exercise. So I commend your efforts wherever you are on that. And don't give up. Just because we're done with Colossians after today doesn't mean you need to stop working on that, and me as well. So with the beautiful Christ hymn of Colossians 1, 15 through 20 in our minds, let's finish this letter from Paul to the church at Colossae. So take your Bible, turn with me to Colossians chapter 4. If you are here this morning and for whatever reason you don't have a Bible, we will get you one. We offer you the one in front of you. Look under one of the chairs in front of you there. There should be a rack with a ESV Bible there. Pick one. Open that book to page 985. That'll get you to Colossians 4, so you can see the Word of God for yourself. And then I would encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, take that one home with you. If you want a better one, come to my office, and I'll get you one that's not a, you know, not a church pew Bible, if you will. But we want you to see the Word of God for yourself. This morning we're in Colossians 4, and we're going to be finishing up 2 through 18. But before we do, let's pray and ask God to speak to us. Father God, we come before you in the strong name of Jesus, and we pray that our worship has been pleasing to you. We pray that if it hasn't been, that you tweak it, adjust it, correct it, so that when it reaches your ears, it truly is a sweet, sweet sound in your ear, because you are worthy of that praise. You are worthy of more praise than we even know how to give, how to grant. God, we are so lacking in our ability to give you what you deserve. But maybe, Lord, in heaven, we will be able to praise you to the fullest. We will be able to praise you with sinless perfection. And we long for that. You are worthy of that and more. But God, please speak to us today. Thank you that you are a speaking God, that you have spoken. We don't have to wonder, will God speak? You have spoken through your word. And we thank you, Lord, that in times past, as Hebrews says, you spoke through the prophets and the apostles, and now, Lord, you have spoken perfectly through your Son, who is the Logos, the very Word of God. And so we want to receive what you have for us today. We pray as we walk through these verses in chapter 4 today that you would help us, Lord, that you would, through your Holy Spirit, penetrate, enlighten, open our eyes, God. Help us to see what you want to say to us individually and corporately as a church, and just help us to be ready to say yes, sir, and receive the good that comes from you, the love letter from you today. So, Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here, and I give you thanks for them. And Lord, I pray that there are those here today that have not received Jesus as Lord and Master and King, that today might be a day of great celebration, a great day of thanksgiving, for you have brought them to a place of salvation. So, Lord, do your great work in and through us. Speak to us, O God, and be glorified in doing so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Colossians 4, beginning in verse 2, Paul concludes this letter. He says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Tychicus will tell us all about my activities. He is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts, and with him Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you've received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Here Paul concludes this beautiful letter with a more detailed application of the theology that really flows out of the Christ hymn of Colossians 1:15 through 20. It's because because of Christ. You know, Christ is the focus. It's because of the risen, living Christ, the one, praise God, whose perfection ever represents and intercedes for the believer. It is because of that that we are called and empowered to a new and glorious way of living. And we live by faith. We've stressed on that over the last several weeks. The righteous live by faith. By faith, we have everything we need in Jesus Christ. And Paul ends this letter with three Christ-like and Christ-exalting characteristics that should be found in every believer, and as it's found in every believer, it should form the church together. It should describe the church, including the church that gathers called Hampton Heights. And for my time in these verses, I offer us the following. Number one, Christians should be known as people who pray. Christians be known as people who pray. Look at 2 through 4 again. He says, continue how? Steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So you got three things there: steadfast, watchful, thanksgiving. So at the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door, or open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So prayer is the privilege. It is the privilege. I mean, we live in a world right now that's constantly criticizing anybody that has any kind of privilege. You know, we refer to various privileges, and at the end of the day, everybody's got different privileges, if you want to call it that. But all that becomes is an excuse for why you can't do something or why you can't accomplish something. You know, we're all victims in the culture today. Everybody's a victim. Just give it enough time, and if we're not careful, that stuff rubs off on us, and we're looking for it. You know, how am I being taken advantage? How am I a victim? And you know, how does somebody else have a leg up on me? But you know what? Prayer is the great privilege. Prayer is the blessing of access to God at all times. And yet prayer may be an afterthought for us. It may be a last resort at times. And then I have to ask you the question, I have to ask myself the question, I would look in the mirror and go, why? Why? Why do we not pray without ceasing? Why do I not pray more? Why is the typical church prayer meeting or prayer gathering always the least attended event on the church calendar? Why, even here, and I appreciate Clay bringing this up, why is the Greater Works Prayer Ministry, for those of you who don't know what that is, it's a prayer ministry that meets once a month in small groups. His is a men's group, mine is a men's group, there are some, you know, couples groups, there's even a family group that Ron Bellamo leads, and so you got children and couples together, but it's a once a month requirement. That's it. Once a month to meet and gather and pray together. And Clay will tell you it's a blessing to him. It's a blessing to me. Ron will tell you it's a blessing to those who participate. And so why is that the one ministry of Hampton Heights Baptist Church we have the most trouble getting Christians to participate in? And I know what you're thinking. You know, Gene, I'm just not comfortable praying out loud. Guess what? You're never going to be if you don't participate. I mean, I've told you at least twice in the 8 years I've been here, the first challenge I had when Angie and I were first married. We found a little church, and we were looking for a church in our new city, and I walked up to the pastor, who was actually the teacher of the Young Families Bible Fellowship there, and he said, hi, I'm Mike Branscombe. I said, hi, I'm Gene Ornby. If you ever ask me to pray or read, I'll never come back to your church. He's like, well, okay, nice to meet you, you know, but that's just, I was that afraid. I did not want to be put on the spot. I didn't want to be asked to pray or speak. So I know what that's like, but you got to be around folks. You got to, you know, and you can just come to a prayer group and say, look, I'm not comfortable praying out loud, but I'd like to join the group. You will be welcome. You will be received, and you will learn to pray. And I'm just going to, you know, give you, there's probably other reasons why we don't pray more. And I'll let you answer that in your own heart and mind, because I have my own personal deficiencies when it comes to pray, my own personal challenges that I need to address and I need to correct in my own life. But prayer is a mark. It's a distinguishing mark of God's people. And while I challenge you in that, and while I want to encourage you in that, let me also encourage you that we are growing in this. We as a fellowship, we as a family of faith called Hamlin Heights are growing in this. I'm going to tell you, it's taken years. 8 years ago when I first came here, the Wednesday night prayer meeting, which we call it Refuel now, the Wednesday night prayer meeting was about six people meeting in the room across from the office. And that was it. And since that time, I mean, it's kind of done a little bit of this in terms of numerical growth. The trajectory has still been positive. It's gone, you know, from a certain number, and I think at one point we even met over in the Bible Fellowship group room that's down the hall here on the right. And we had about 30, maybe even 35 in there at that time. And then COVID, and then it kind of went, you know, down like the church did and this sort of thing. And so it's been up and down to some degree, but what's come to my attention most recently is the number of people that are praying before. Even when we had 30, 35 in the room, there might only be like three people willing to pray. Now we meet in the education building, there's 18, 19, 20 of us, sometimes more than that. And I mean, most Wednesday nights, almost everybody is praying, and it takes time to do that. And so the culture of prayer is growing, and it's an encouragement to me, and it's an encouragement, it's a blessing to those who participate. And I just want to encourage you to do it. Encourage you to come on a Wednesday night, and we intercede for each other, and we intercede for the church. And what I'm finding is the more that Refuel group grows, and the more involved in the actual praying that's taking place, I'm having to adjust my teaching time down, and that's a wonderful thing. It is a truly wonderful thing. Here Paul calls the church, number one, he says, to continue steadfastly. It's a word that means be intently engaged in, to attend constantly to prayer or to persist. And then he says, be watchful. It means attentive, vigilant, and the word watchful literally means in the Greek to be alive with prayer. To be alive with prayer. Now, so I ask you this question. I think this is coming up on the screen. What would it look like for our church gatherings to be alive with prayer? Now, I don't do this very often, and it's a big risk I'm taking, so don't do anything crazy here, but I'm going to throw this out. I'm really going to throw this out. I know, I've got some ideas, because obviously I've been thinking about this for a week, and you haven't, but let's say a first-time guest came to our church today. Maybe they came to Bible Fellowship hour earlier. They come today, they come back on Wednesday night. Maybe even they say, hey, we're considering membership in your church. Is there any chance we could sit in on a finance meeting? You're like, well, okay. Maybe if that's what you need to do, whatever. So somebody comes on our campus in this regard, and then they leave after worship or whatever, and somebody, you know, one of their friends said, well, how was it at Hampton Heights? And they say, well, you know, I mean, the preaching was all right, you know, the music was pretty good, you know, whatever. But I tell you what, I walked away with what? That church was alive with prayer. Now, if they could say that about us, what would that look like? So off the top of your head, what are some thoughts? What would it look like to be alive with prayer here? Give me something. Come on.
Spontaneous
prayer. Okay, what would that look like? What would you see on this campus? Yes, you'd see two people over here. Okay, you'd see four people maybe over here. You would down the hallway. You know, maybe there's Ron and he's praying with somebody down the hall. You go to your Bible Fellowship group and down the hallway. Yeah, they're having coffee or whatever. But over here there's somebody praying together. Right? What else? Anything else? In the middle of the worship service, Carlos leads us in a corporate song. Corporate worship song, or maybe it's a choir special or something else. In the middle of the service, whether it be related to the music, something that pricked your heart in the music, something that was said in the message, You don't wait till the invitation and you come down right then, right in the middle of the service. Your son leans over and says, "Dad, this is something I'm dealing with, or this is a question I've got." He said, "Well, be quiet, let's wait till the end of the service." No, and Ron comes down here, you know, and prays with his son in the middle of the service. Or you say, "Well, you know, I sit in the back, you know, that'd just be a distraction." You just walk out and you go somewhere in the foyer and say, I want to respond to God now. In prayer. I don't want to delay. And this is something Carlos and I were talking about. You know, one of the things we're trying to do more of is when somebody says, "Hey, listen, will you pray for me?" What do we say? "I will do that in my next quiet time." No. Do it now. Do it now, right? Anything else that would look like alive with prayer? How about if the finance meeting and the properties meeting and the staff development team meeting had more than just an opening and closing brief prayer? What if they got in the middle of the, you know, we're going to plan the budget coming up here going, "You know what? We need this, but we don't know how to fund this. Or Lord, we're not sure. Is this the best use of the funds of the church?" We stop and say, "You know what? We're going to pray now." In the middle of the meeting. I can't tell you how many times I'm sitting here going, "What does that mean? What am I going to do with that verse?" And I'll struggle with it in my wisdom for moments until I finally go, "You know what I might ought to do? Pray, God, what does this mean? How does this apply? Help me, Lord." And also, what does he say? He says, steadfast. He says, being watchful, so alive with prayer. And he says, with thanksgiving. Here's another way it would look like alive with prayer. You show up on Sunday morning, you go to your Bible fellowship, and you see your friend, and they say, "Hey, how you doing? Great. Let me tell you what happened this week. Let me tell you what God did this week." And you tell them what God did and how he provided for you, and all of a sudden the person you're sharing that with, "Hey, well, let's just stop, right? Let's praise him. Father, thank you so much for that provision for Amy today. Thank you, Lord, for that good report that she got. Thank you so much for this conversation, this spiritual discussion that so-and-so got to have with their lost, wayward child." Whatever, you would be stopping right then and giving him praise. Now, could we work on that? Could we try? Is that wrong? Is there any good reason you know, people might say, "Well, they walked away from the worship and the campus and go, those people are kind of weird. Why?" You know, have you ever met a person like this? I've met people like this. You're talking to them, the next thing you know, they're going, it's like the person that goes around with that Bluetooth in their ear. You know, you're going, "Oh, they're not talking to me." You know, I hate that. I think it's so rude. It's like people are going, "Oh, Dana was talking to me a minute ago. The next thing you know, she just started talking to God. Like he was right there. Like he was alive." Let's work on that. I want to try to encourage that. All right, that might take a while, but you know a lot of things take a while. So let's work on responding to God in that way. And then think about it this way. What kind of impact might that have? What might God do if there was just this church that was just so desperate for him and dependent on him and in communication with him that the culture, just like the Wednesday night culture, I promise you, the Wednesday night culture, you are welcome to come if you never pray out loud, but I'm telling you, it's a culture where prayer is happening. You just feel so infused with strength after you leave the Wednesday night refuel, I promise you. What might God do? All right, what might God do? Also, Paul asks for specific prayers for missions and evangelism there in verses 3 and 4. He says, open door to the word, clear communication. Did you know what the three emphasis of the Greater Works Prayer Ministry is? I would love to say, just like memorizing the scripture, what's the Greater Works Prayer Ministry? What's the focus? All right, there's only three things. This is all we've ever had. Missions, evangelism, and the ministries of the church. Now we'll share, you know, some personal prayer requests in our group, but not a lot. The main focus is missions, evangelism, and the ministries of the church. So guess what? The Greater Works Prayer Ministry is already doing what God's Word, through the Apostle Paul, is telling them to do. So you can be part of that. And I promise you, if you say, "Well, I don't know much about it," I would love to tell you about it. Andrea Garner would love to tell you about it and get you plugged in to this once-a-month opportunity to pray in this regard. Number two, not only should Christians be known as people of prayer, they should be known as people of grace. Look at 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech, always be gracious. Lord, help us. Season with salt so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. You know, it's been said there's two things that you can do on earth you can't do in heaven. You can't sin and you can't tell lost people about Jesus. Right? Now, I think we're going to share the gospel in heaven. I really do. I think we're going to share it with each other because we're going to go, man, isn't the gospel great? Isn't it? So, look, we're here because of the gospel. We're here because of what Jesus has done. But there's not going to be any lost people there, and there ain't going to be any sin there. So those two things we'll not be able to do. No sin in heaven, no gospel sharing opportunities because no lost people. But for now, we do have these opportunities. And Paul says, walk or live in wisdom toward those currently outside the salvation of God. They have not received that gift of salvation just yet. And we know that these opportunities come to walk in wisdom, and we know that Proverbs tells us what about wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning, right? This is the starting point. This holy, healthy, appropriate fear of God. And to me, it's a combination of both a reverence and I'm just scared. I'm just telling you, he's God. You know, it's kind of like that Aslan kind of fear. You know, it's like, okay, that's a really big cat. Okay, I don't know if you've ever been that close to a lion or something like that. You're going, you know, I mean, he's cool and all, but he could rip your head off in a second. And we need that. We need that. Going, I want the protection of that lion, but I don't want to get too close because I'm going to presume upon this lion if I'm not careful. So we know the beginning of wisdom. Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when you don't fear, when you fear God, you don't fear man. And when you don't fear man, you're free. And you say, free in what way? Well, you know, free not to give in to peer pressure. Yes. Free, you know, not to be concerned about, you know, the judgment or thoughts of others. Yeah, but it's more than that. It's free to love. When you don't fear people, you're free to love them. You're free to show them love. You're free to give them grace because guess what? You don't have a kingdom of your own that you're working toward anymore. You don't have a kingdom of your own to protect. You don't have a reputation and a kingdom of your own to defend. You don't have to practice some sort of risk avoidance in regard to this thing that you are not building because you're part of the kingdom of God. You can risk loving others. You can risk giving them free grace. You can just you can risk being taken advantage of. You know, it's like one day God's going to go, whatever check you got to write, I'm going to tell you, I'll cover it all. I will cover it all. Whatever steps you got to take to risk loving this person, to risk giving this person grace, it's all good because you're free to give away two of the precious things that God has absolutely poured out all over you, his love and his grace. And Paul's already mentioned where the wisdom is found. We covered this maybe a week or two ago. He's already mentioned where it's found. Yes, the beginning of wisdom. You know, the fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. But in chapter 3 and verse 16, you should be able to see that right there in your Bible. It says what? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with what? All wisdom. So what do we take from that? Wisdom comes from being filled with the Word, all right? Being filled with the Word because it's the Word of life. It's the Word of grace. If you want to bring life to the table, you bring the Word to the table. You bring the Word to the table, you take the Word in. And what comes, what we take in is what comes out of us, right? And so that's why it's important to memorize Scripture, even if imperfectly, right? It's important to meditate on Scripture. It's important to spend time with God in His Word and let His Word be in us. And so what we take in comes out, and God through His Holy Spirit will grant us wisdom through the Word. And we can even ask God for this wisdom. We can ask God. James 1:5, what does James 1:5 tell us? If any of you lacks wisdom, well, don't ask God because he sure isn't going to give anything. No, he's going to give it generously. To who? Everybody. Yeah, but I'm a sinner. Yeah, welcome to the club. And it will be given to him without reproach. All right, so James 1:5 says ask for it. So Christians have access to something lost people do not. We have access to wisdom the world does not, and with that wisdom, the lost may actually find our lives attractive, even if they don't know why. And I think one of the reasons is because of what we have in Christ. One of the things we have in Christ is peace. I mean, that's the one thing that nobody can buy. No amount of money, no amount of effort can give you peace. Only peace is this internal thing that only comes through being in Christ. And we have everything we need in Christ, including peace. And in fact, they may look at our lives and go, how do you have this peace? In fact, last week we talked about the authority structure. The authority structure of the home, particularly, right? And so if you ask a lost person, hey, you know, this is the biblical roles of men and women. This is the authority structure of men and women. I don't want any of that. Now, they may not want any of that, but if they look at your life and your marriage and they see a husband who's loving his wife like Christ loved the church, and you see a wife who's willingly submitting and happy about it and filled with joy and being really loved, and they see children in the home loved and obedient, not perfect, but obedient, striving for obedience, and they go, now that looks pretty good. Is there any way I can get a little bit of that? Well, yeah, here's how you have to do it. In fact, Angie and I had some pictures taken the other night. We've never done this. Had a photographer, you know, and so Angie wanted this. She said, I want us to get some pictures. We, you know, we're always in pictures or taking pictures, but we never have any pictures of us, you know. I said, okay. I said, is this for when I die? Is that kind of what we're doing here? Is this where we get coming to the end? She goes, no, you know, and she was all worried I was going to be all grumpy and not want to do it and all this kind of stuff. And so we went out to this guy took us to this field and all this kind of stuff. And so she's got this cute little Christmassy kind of sweater that I found at JCPenney for her, and I'm wearing whatever it is she wanted me to wear that looked kind of fallish and all this kind of stuff. And so this guy's taking the pictures. He's like, man, you guys are just really good. And he goes, how long have you guys been, you know, married? It was like 34 years and all that kind of stuff. And it's so great. He goes, wow. He goes, I mean, because anything he asks us to, he goes like, now just look at her, or give her a kiss on the cheek, do this, do that. And it was just so easy to do, you know. And I mean, you know, because we just know each other. And you know, many of you have been married longer than we have. But it was the greatest thing. He goes, what's the secret? I said, Jesus Christ. I mean, no hesitation. Angie's saying thing, Jesus Christ. He's like, wow, yeah, wow, that's great. You know, and I think he resonated with it, but I don't really think that was the answer he was necessarily looking for. But I was like, that's the only thing it can be, okay? It sure can't be me, you know? I mean, it's got to be Jesus. But anyway, it's just, you know, the world is looking, and they may not like the Bible that we follow, they may not like the Word of God if it's just, you know, necessarily laid out, but when they see the fruit of it, they go, that's how you get this. That's how you get the, rather than the chaos in the home, you get the peace in the home. So we're going to have an opportunity here. And our time to display this wisdom is limited, he says. So Paul says, make the best use of it. And then he gives emphasis to our words, our speech. Man, this is so important. Our words should reflect the people of grace that God declares us to be, as well as the people of grace we are becoming in actual practice. Words that are gracious, he says, words that are gracious are seasoned with salt. You know, there's a preservative here. In other words, the words that we have, the gracious words that should be coming out of our mouth have staying power. They stick. They cross cultural lines. They cross ethnic lines. They cross racial lines. They stick because it's the Word of God. And they also add flavor, right? And that gives life. So we should be not just the aroma of Christ, we should leave people with a good taste in their mouths after we've had an opportunity to speak to them. And especially those who are lost and groping in spiritual darkness and lacking wisdom. You know, the Word gives us this, but it's not just the truth of it. And Angie tells me this so often, and I still need to hear this. She says, Gene, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. A lot of times I have really good things to say, and I deliver it on a trash can lid, okay? And so it's like, that's just, that steak looks great, but that's not the way it needs to be served up. And so she helps me with that. She's, you know, she kind of Holy Spirits me on that sometimes. But anyway, but I need that. So truth, wisdom, all that the lost need to hear needs to be shared with grace so they can digest it, right? And the more we do so, the more likely outsiders are going to ask these questions, and the more opportunity to answer will be granted. So number one, we're to be a people who pray. Number two, we'll be a people of grace. And third, we close with this. Christians should be known for healthy and strengthening relationships. Look, you should be better, stronger, faster. Wasn't that the $6 million man? I'm aging myself now. Better than he was. Stronger, faster. Anyway, you should be better, stronger, faster because you're part of this body. And the more active you are in this body, the better, stronger, faster you should be. Spiritually healthy is what I'm talking about. Because of the strength you're gaining from the relationships of the people around you. Look at the, I'm not going to read, 7 through 18 again like I normally do, but just kind of follow along with me in the text. And look at the blessings provided by the individuals Paul mentions by name. Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant. Remember beloved, agapao, we've covered that last couple of weeks. Agapao, beloved brother, faithful minister, fellow servant. And he is believed to be the one who actually is carrying this letter to the church at Colossae from Paul. And he's doing what? He's sharing what all, Paul's accomplished, what God's been accomplishing through Paul while under house arrest. So he's delivering the goods. He's beloved, he's faithful, and he's a servant. You know what? We have those here. We really do. We are so blessed at Hampton Heights to have beloved, faithful servants. And when we get over there and we have our time to give thanks, I'm going to give thanks to a group of guys that really knocked it out here yesterday that most of you would probably never know about, but I can't wait to share that. But we have these. And so my question would be, though, are you all three of these? I hope you know you're beloved. I hope you feel the love. And I guarantee you, the more engaged in the church body you are, the more loved you feel. And that's not because you're worthy or more worthy, the more engaged you are, it's just more exposure. The more you expose yourself to the body of Christ, the more love you're going to feel. So I hope you're feeling loved and beloved, as the word says here. But what about the other two? Faithful. Are you faithful? Are you a servant? I hope so. That's what we want. All three. And notice the word servant there is actually bond servant. So the instructions that we covered last week in the verses that we landed on, the words or the instruction for bond servant applies here as well. That means heartfelt obedience to those in authority over them. That was Tychicus, and Paul sends him because he will encourage their hearts. And don't we need that? I hope when you come in here after the week that you've had, whatever kind of week you've had, you know what? I can't wait to get here on Sunday because I'm going to be encouraged. My heart is going to be encouraged by being around these people, my brothers and my sisters. And we need that. And then here's Onesimus, faithful, beloved, and one of you. This was Philemon's converted bondservant who was a slave, and now he's not only restored, he's an heir of God. And then there's Aristarchus, Paul's fellow prisoner. This dude was from Thessalonica. He was a product of Paul's missionary journeys. He came to faith, and then after he came to faith, guess how good it went for Aristarchus? He was dragged by a mob during a near riot in Ephesus. And I'm sure beaten, as others were. And then now, where's he at? He's a fellow prisoner. All right, so keep that one in mind. We see Mark, who's John Mark, the author of the Gospel of Mark. And also, if you recall, he is a person whom Paul had such a heated disagreement with that they split up. Paul takes Silas, Mark goes with Barnabas, and they go on like separate missionary journeys, just go their separate ways, right? So big issue there. And then we see this guy named Jesus who is called Justice. Now, it's so hard for me and maybe for you, but we have to remember Jesus was just a common name. And it's like, no, man, come on, really? Jesus, and could you imagine everybody in town is talking about, man, you heard about this Jesus? He's healing the sick and raising the dead. It's like this. When I worked at GMAC Insurance in Winston-Salem, there was another employee in the company named Gene Overby. Okay, now, and he was really good, all right, but that's not the worst part, all right? We got each other's mail, we got confused from time to time, and this guy's like 6'4", 220, strapping handsome guy, anyway. And so his dad, Gene Overby Sr., was the voice of the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. And so I would call these people up as part of my job for handling claims. I'd say, good morning. My name's Gene Overby with Gene Overby? No, I'm not that guy. And you could just feel the disappointment, that kind of thing. And so anyway, I'm not sure where I was going with that. But anyway, Jesus is just. Can you imagine? Yeah, you imagine everybody's talking about how great Jesus is, and you're Jesus. But you're not even close, right? You're just a regular guy. So I guess it was probably a good idea to maybe go with Justice instead. But these three are Jewish Christians. And Paul says, they brought great comfort to me. So consider what we're given here. You got one guy who was drug beaten and now in prison with Paul, one who had such a great dispute with Paul that they separated, and one dude that just had to like adjust his name, all right, in the process here. So all these guys pushed through, right? They pushed through, they suffered, some continued to suffer so, but they were all used by God to bring great comfort to the church. See, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There's a fellow family member in the family of faith that sticks closer than a brother. So family of faith, I ask us this. Do you and I possess the character, the love, the grace to suffer, to cope, to pray through, to be willing to stay, to allow the Lord to work in us and through us that we might have stories like these? That we might have stories of how we've overcome and the experience through that overcoming of being so bonded together that we're just stronger than we ever have been. You have to have some coping skills. You have to stick with it. You've got to pray through, and these guys did that. So do we have that? Do you have that? Do I have that? And then he mentions Epaphras. We haven't seen Epaphras since chapter 1 and verse 7. But he was the one who heard Paul's preaching in Ephesus, converted to Christianity, and then went back to Colossae and started the church. So not only is this dude great because he's like, you know, he's like the church planter, but what does the scripture say about him? He's valuable. It says he's always struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature and fully assured of the will of God. And the Greek word for struggling is agonizomai. What does that sound like? Agony. What do you think of? You think of agony. Jesus praying in the garden like drops of blood, right? Agonizomai. Here's this guy. He's praying. He's praying. And here's what the word agonizomai literally means. To be a combatant in the public games. To be a combatant in the public games, to contend, to fight. And if Phyllis Sheriff was here right now, she would resonate with this. She always has this phrase, today we fight. Today we fight. And what she's talking about is on her knees. So when you think of those words, agonizomai, to be a combatant in the public games, to contend to fight, how does that impact your view of what you're doing when you pray? How does that impact your view of the refuel Wednesday night prayer time? How does that make you feel about being in a Greater Works prayer ministry prayer group? You are agonizomai. You are battling. You are fighting. And what does he pray specifically? That they would stand mature, meaning fully accomplished in their character. You know, I can guarantee you if I told you tomorrow, hey, listen, church, you know, like my mom right now. My mom's sick. She's got a cold. She's having some health issues. If I told you that right now, you would be more than happy to pray for my mom. And I appreciate that. And I probably need that, or she needs that. Are we all going to need to have our needs prayed for, our health needs, our financial needs, our relationship needs. And I could ask you that. But here's the thing. What I really need is for you to pray that I would be fully accomplished in the character God wants me to have. That's what I really need you to pray. Because you know what? I may not get over the sickness. I may not get healed of the disease. I may not have the financial need met, but this is the will of God, that I be fully accomplished in character. And he also prays that they be fully assured, meaning a fully convinced Christian. Can you imagine what it would be like to be a fully convinced Christian? What you could do with a fully convinced Christian? What God could do if you are a fully convinced Christian? And then what else does it say about Epaphras? It says, and he works hard. Paul says he works hard. Listen, ministry's hard work. If you think you're just going to join a church, come in, everything's going to be cool and hip and cruise, and you're not going to have any issues, and nobody's going to disagree with you, and you're not going to have any challenges. No, ministry is hard work. You're going to be tired from ministry. Chad, you tired from digging a hole yesterday? Yes, I can guarantee it. 10 guys total, I think. You're going to be tired. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to be spent. Ministry is going to cost you. And you're going to be torn down like a muscle, like Barry who goes to the gym or wherever and wherever he works out and breaks his muscles down and then builds them back up through exercise. Only to have this exercise of faith serve to build you up stronger. And then Paul speaks of Luke, the beloved physician. Isn't it good to have some brilliant people in the church? I mean, it's nice to have somebody that could go to medical school and you know, just somebody really smart. You know, you need those types. You need some really brilliant people too. That's a good thing to have. He speaks of Nympha, a woman likely of financial means who opens the door of her home so a church can meet there. Man, what a great, she is generously giving in the area of hospitality. Thank God for women like that. And there's a special message. I mean, quote, right? He quotes, this is a quote for Archippus. I don't know what Archippus did. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know if he's picking his nose. I don't know what this guy's doing, but it's, see to it that you fulfill the ministry that you have received from the Lord. Well, this is a message we could all take, right? Because you know what? That's the goal. That's the goal. At the end of the day, this is the goal. To finish well, so we can say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And then Paul closes with how personal this letter is, as he ends it with his own pen, not by an assistant. I think they call it amanuensis. Anyway, there's these paid professional scribes that help these biblical writers write some of these things, right? But he says, no, I'm writing this with my own hand. And he doesn't ask for a thing, in my view. Now, some scholars disagree with this. I don't think he asked for a thing. He just says, remember my chains. And some say, well, yeah, but he's kind of saying, remember my situation, remember me, don't forget me. No, he didn't say, remember me. He says, remember this. Remember my chains. Remember why I'm here. It's Christ. It's Christ. Remember why I'm here. It's Christ. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your focus on Christ, who's the only one worthy of chains. Keep your focus on Christ. He's the only one worthy of losing your freedom so others could be made free. Remember what matters, church. Don't let other things, lesser things, serve to distract us from the main thing. And you know, when I look around our church, think about our family of faith, I see love. And I feel it. I see grace and I experience it. I see wisdom and I take advantage of it. I see experience and I appreciate it so much. I see faithfulness in so many. I just want 100%. That's what I want. That's what drives me. I will not be satisfied until 100% of the family of faith that makes up Hampton Heights Baptist Church is completely actively involved in the ministries of this church. Never gonna be satisfied till it's 100%. As Carlos and the worship team come, where are you personally in making us a people who pray, in making us a people of grace, in making us a people known for relationships that build one another up in the most holy faith? And just remember, it's all Christ. Everything you need, you have in Jesus Christ, but you must access it by faith. Everything you have is found in Jesus Christ. Christ makes everything possible. Christ is the basis of your prayers. If you come and you say, I don't know what to pray, pray the Word of God. Pray the Logos. Pray the Word of God. Because when you pray the Word of God, you're praying Jesus Christ, who is the living Word. Christ is the source of our prayers. Christ is the source of our grace. We have been graced, and we're able to freely give grace to others. Christ in us, Christ in you, is what each of us need in order to build others up, in order to be built up ourselves. So I ask you, are you His disciple? Are you really His? And if you are, you have everything you need for you to be like Christ and for our church to reflect that. And that's why we're here. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how wonderful and beautiful and majestic Christ is. I thank you that we lack nothing, nothing, not one thing do we lack. We thank you that everything we have in Christ, all that we need. There's not a moment we lack anything. We just ask that you'd help us to be people of faith. We ask that you help us to be people of prayer. We ask that this church campus would become a campus alive with prayer. every Bible fellowship alive with prayer, every meeting alive with prayer, every function alive with prayer, every hallway alive with prayer, every building alive with prayer, every field alive with prayer, every event. Just help us to learn that, Lord. Help me to learn that and to lead in that way. And God, I pray for anybody here that does not know you as Savior, Lord, Master, and King, and have the peace that passes understanding, I pray that they might receive you, surrender to you, acknowledge Jesus and Him only. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.